Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of the Working While Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingwhilehomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we'll be speaking to Devin, who's with Professional Home Educator. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner, this announcement is for you. Do you have questions about how to get more clients or wonder how you can do more with less? Do you have big, crazy dreams that you're not quite sure how to tackle? Or perhaps you're wondering how you could make a real income doing any of it? If you've said yes to any of the above, you should consider signing up for one of my business entrepreneur coaching sessions. Now, being your own boss is great, but working on your own doesn't mean you have to go it alone. Coaching is going to provide you the accountability and support you need so that you can reap the rewards of being a solo entrepreneur with less doubt, stress, and struggle. So give yourself an edge over the competition. You can check out my one-on-one coaching services at my site or below. It really is time for you to be able to write your own success story. So let me help you. Again, check out the link on my site or below. So, Devin, can you introduce yourself? Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Devin Vasco. I'm a homeschool mom, a leader in my community. We've homeschooled 15 years, and the leadership stuff that I do has grown into, I guess, a homeschool business now.
Right. And you run like a homeschool cover school down there too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Right. Yeah.
If anyone can tell, Devin comes from Alabama and very close to my hometown, so my southern accent's really strong today. So I'll just have to say that. Every time I listen to somebody from Alabama, my accent comes back. So Devin is running a group called Professional Home Educator, which you can find on Facebook. But we were talking about, you know, kind of taking that and turning that into a business versus, I hate to say hobby, but a hobby. What were some of your questions that you wanted to ask about that, Devin?
I think one of my main things is when your group grows to a certain size, it begins to take resources, monetary resources, and it really needs to at least, at the very least, sustain itself where you're not paying out of your pocket, making it worth it. And then just so that you're not burnt out, your husband's not looking at you saying, where's the money going?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gets to the hobby gets to the level where you have to, it has to be able to pay for itself. That's other mamas know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's, it is a very valid point because there's as much as, you know, we might love to do things. I am a very, very firm believer in that whatever you're doing, unless it is a true hobby. And at that point, you can tell a hobby no, because you're a hobby. It does at least need to pay for itself, right? Now, and please accountants, don't quote me wrong, but from my understanding, under IRS rules, if you're not making money, everything's considered a hobby. That's why I'm using that language. So if you're doing a direct sales business, if you're doing, you know, whatever it is, if you're not showing a profit, aka making money according to the IRS, you know, within 3 to 5 years, they consider it a hobby business. So you're doing it, but you're not really making money. So that's, you know, it's a tax thing. Don't quote me on that though, because I'm probably saying something wrong. So that's kind of why I use that language, because I was raised by an accountant. Even nonprofits at least have to pay their own expenses. Right. So we do need to kind of talk about time management. I think there was a time management part of that question and also a monetization part of that question. Do you agree?
Yes.
Right. So let's start with the time management because that one's easy. That was the easy one.
Yeah.
And because I know you mentioned before that this is almost starting to take over a little bit because it's so big.
Yeah. I'm a mother of 5. 4 are still homeschooling. 1 has graduated. The youngest is 4. Right. So starting this summer, it started taking over my time where I feel like I'm running behind and not accomplishing everything and to my full opinion. I mean, I know that you can't do everything in life, but I can't call myself a homeschool mother if I'm not actually homeschooling.
Right.
So I feel like they're getting the short end of the stick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I've had that concern myself all the time, so I totally get it. I think the first thing you have to do is set clear boundaries. The book is called Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. So if anybody's read that book, it's an older book, but I love the thing. I have to put very hard markers on your time. You know, taking your calendar, taking like a paper calendar and laying out your week. So basically, we have to put clear delineators on our time. Set office hours.
Yeah.
And it's harder when you're home and you never leave your quote unquote office.
Yes.
So you have to almost work harder at leaving the office behind mentally. If you have your desk and everything set up in a different room, going away and literally shutting the door, making some like physical reminders for yourself that, okay, I'm out of the office now because I shut the door and I leave it shut until I go back in the office. If your desk is in the middle of your living room or, you know, in a big open family space, then that makes a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So, but doing something so mentally, like you're forcing yourself to kind of leave that space, mm-hmm. it's a little mind game trick. But when you're looking at your calendar, you start putting down all the things you have to kind of leave your house to do. And then you set, I would honestly block in the time that you're doing the real quote unquote schoolwork with the youngest.
Yes, and she's the one that needs it the most.
Right. But at four, they don't need a lot of time to do the quote unquote schoolwork.
Yeah.
So when my kids were that age, and you know, I have the preteens now. So, but when my kids were that age, I've kind of put that first in my day. Like, okay, get the first round of chores done, drink the first cup of coffee, and then we did schoolwork. Or work started. That way, at least I knew, I kind of felt like I was giving the homeschooling part of my day the first priority.
Yes.
Right? So like from 9 to 10, you're homeschooling the four-year-old. You get whatever you've decided to do with the four-year-old out of the way. Not that a four-year-old really needs more than an hour, hour and a half in any of that.
Yeah.
So at least you can say, all right, at least I got the, you know, the required of what I wanted to accomplish today done. And then you can feel a little bit better, more flexible about your day.
Yes.
Now, as soon as my kids could read, and I would say it's probably around third grade-ish, I started transitioning them to working independently, at least one class. Or I'll say, okay, go work on this worksheet and then come back to me when you're done. Like little bitty things, 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're doing that too. And then that way you're still available if they need you, but you're working, you know, your older ones are, you know, can come in and out as they need. But you've quote unquote got your schoolwork done for the day. So you don't feel guilty.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know that feeling of guilt.
Yeah. The only way I could work and homeschool at the same time is to actually make sure I got homeschooling done. And so I blocked off that time on my calendar. Like I didn't take phone calls. I didn't take emails. You know, the deliveries got done after, like nothing happened. So you protect that time like it's sacrilegious if you mess up that time almost. That's kind of one of the things I did is I just put it down, block it off. And then I have to be hyper organized about how we use that time to make sure it actually gets done because I can't show up at 9 o'clock and say, oh, what are we going to do now? Because I only gave myself an hour or whatever. So being really organized with the kind of like what you want to do for at that point and then protecting it like gold and then doing it first and getting it over with, especially with littles, I think, because, you know, after lunch, they're kind of done for the day mentally, I think.
Yeah, they are.
You can't do it later.
Yeah. First thing in the morning, she tends to be a 10 o'clock girl.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can set my time 10 to 12.
Exactly. You just
then you protect it
and that's done. You'd be like, oh, I need to do this. Oh, sorry, I can't. I have an appointment. So I'm all about mind gaming myself because, you know, that's the only way it works for me.
Yeah. No, but that's a good idea because I've tried this summer. I very, very much tried to stick to my Google Calendar and paying attention to what's going on. I'll just schedule her in.
Yeah.
Schedule her in. So nothing else can be scheduled then.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you choose how you're going to spend that time. And I'm a big fan of planning it out in advance so you don't have to think of it that day. At 10 o'clock, you're not trying to come up with something.
Yeah.
To me, that's stressful. And then you need to set your office hours. So if you're going to work with her from 10 to 12 every day, then let's say from 12:30 on, because, you know, literally schedule yourself a lunch break. Otherwise, we won't eat. But from 12:30 on, 12:30 to 5 are your work hour. And you block that time off. So if you look at this, you're like, I'm going to work 20 hours a week on this. Then either, you know, before 10 or after 12:30, you figure out when you can work and you lock it off on your calendar.
Yeah.
And then you start protecting that like gold.
Yeah.
And it feels weird when we're doing this from home, we're working for ourselves. Giving structure to our day, structure to our calendar helps us manage it better.
Yeah. And I think that's where I've been not good is I have not had structure. It's whatever came along.
Exactly. And that's normal, to be honest. And that's kind of how, even when I moved this summer, that's kind of what I was doing because I, you know, my whole schedule and arrangements had gotten kind of screwed up when we moved and I had to kind of rearrange change everything. So I was doing it like haphazardly, randomly. So I think that's normal. But like you said before, doing that means your brain never leaves the office. And that's when you start burning out.
Yeah.
Because you don't ever get to quit. You don't ever get to like leave work.
And enjoy what's going on around you.
Exactly. Now, once you've got those hours and things planned, then I think you have to almost start structuring your business. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to turn this into a business, we have to treat it like it. And we have to literally come up with our plans. So like you lay it out and all right, so these are all the kind of big grandiose ideas I have. This is kind of what I want to do. But then you have to kind of start thinking 3-month goals, 6-month goals.
Yeah.
If this retreat I know that you're hosting is going to happen in 6 months, then you almost have to create your list backward.
Yeah.
I know you do your weekly calls. So if you have your weekly calls, there's a certain amount of upkeep you have to do to that. So kind of look at where you're at in your plan, but you also, again, you block that time off in your calendar. So, okay, I'm going to work on the live class schedule thing for 2 hours a week. And if you can group all your tasks for that together, which yeah. is a hurdle, you know, if you're not used to doing that, then you can kind of see, all right, you know what, this is going to be a 2-hour a week project. I can get everything done if I focus in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so you literally block that off in your calendar. Not mm-hmm. saying you're not going to answer emails or, you know, random
yeah.
stuff show up during the week. And there's a little bit of admin you have to kind of do as you go along, but you know, you kind of almost self-prioritize and devote a certain amount of time to that.
Yeah.
Right. Those are my tricks. And I know they sound really simplistic, but those are the things that have just saved me when yeah. I'm working in homeschooling. So when I have set times that I can do client calls and do business calls and do podcasts. And those are marked off in my calendar. And even my kids know I do my calls from 8 to 10 in the morning and 8 to 10 at night. And so they know 8 to 10 in the morning, don't bother mom unless the door's open.
Yeah.
The door's open, it's a free-for-all. But if the door's closed, you just don't bother me till after 10.
Yeah.
And
that's a good idea.
Yeah. You know, once you kind of get the kids are trained, then it helps. And I just sit them down and explain, look, okay, you know, these are my client calls. This is how I make money. So you cannot interrupt. Other stuff, yeah. when I'm just editing a podcast or trying to write a blog, yes, you can come in and ask me spelling questions, but not while I'm on the phone. And yeah. My youngest was 4 when I started working hardcore. They've never known any difference. So you can almost start seeing them young at that age. And then they get older, it's just not a big deal.
Yeah, that's good.
Depending on kind of like your sleep cycle and how you like to set up your day, you can choose to put your office hours whenever you want.
Yeah.
I've had to put some mine later at night just because of the time zone issues, that at least I used to try to, frankly, save everything after 7 p.m. is family mm-hmm. time, unless I absolutely had like a deadline. But you can choose to set that up however you want because you're your boss, which is fun.
Yeah.
You know? But the other thing is, if you're working that hard, you're doing that many hours, hopefully you're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And I know that was one of kind of your big concerns.
Yeah. Is how to move from the hobby to being monetized.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a couple different things that people do at the homeschool blogger business world. First of all, there's this simple thing, affiliate program. Okay. Choose programs that you love and that you're willing to support and promote and go sign up to be an affiliate so that you can promote that. And then when somebody buys it, you get a kickback,
yeah.
right? So you could put those in your website and you can promote them. There are various things that I've used and I'm still experimenting with that until you kind of get all of that the way you like it.
Yeah. Right?
So that's the obvious one, is using affiliates. The next one is looking at making sure you may be doing some products, mm-hmm. simple things. Whether that be courses online, you know, I love Teachable. You can video record things online and then set them up as a class and then you're selling them. You know, all of my products are alongside the stuff I offer for free on the website.
Yeah. And I do have some of that set up to come out in the next couple of months. I've got that. There's some plans. I'm slow to implement. I think it's very hard to move from the mentality of giving people free to moving for, it's a hard jump that I know I have to do it.
Yeah, I do.
It's a hard jump.
It is a hard jump. It is a very hard jump. If you're used to, frankly, not having to monetize your time, like time is money, then to do that, and then like, okay, what do you charge? And you know, what's your time worth? And what are you comfortable charging? And what will people pay? Like, you almost feel guilty over it.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But your time is valuable. And
yes.
your expertise, your knowledge is worth something. It's worth money. Don't feel like you can't charge. When I first started coaching, I charge $25 an hour, which sounds like a lot, except that basically my competition was was charging $800 to $900 an hour. And I'm like, I didn't feel comfortable charging $800 or $900 an hour.
Yeah.
And I also thought that that would price it out of people's price range. But when I started running my numbers and kind of running my expenses, I realized my expenses were more than $25 an hour. Like I wasn't even covering my expenses, much less paying myself. If you sat down and basically expensed your business out right now while you're doing all your taxes, everything that you're spending, and then you divided that into 52 weeks a year, you would see how much your business spends per week.
Yeah.
So like if you add up, okay, this is how much you're paying for internet, this is how much you're paying for this product, you know, my newsletter product, Teachable, you start adding all that up and then you divide that by 52, because we're not necessarily in a per hour business, so that's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
You divide that into 52, you're like, oh my gosh, my business expenses are $300 a week, or there's $50 a week, or whatever, just for you to keep your doors open.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And that's the first hurdle, right? It's like, okay, in order to break even, I have to make $300 a week.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? To me, that's always the first goal, at least just cover your own expenses. What kinds of things can you do to cover that? You know, affiliate program is good, but it's kind of haphazard and random. It usually comes in small amounts.
Yeah.
There are even some affiliate programs that I've signed up with that you can be making money, but they kind of hold it for you until you hit a certain amount. They don't pay until you hit 50 or you hit 100. So you could be making these little bitty amounts all along, but you're not actually getting your income yet.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you're not really making it until it hits your checking account. Affiliate programs can be good, but that's just like step one. And then you can start looking at products and, you know, you've got some coming out. You might want to kind of do some research online on how to start promoting that and how to integrate it into what you're already doing naturally.
Yeah.
I originally started the podcast to get the word out about the website. And it's almost naturally flipped. Is basically people go to the podcast first and then they go to the website. Like, how do you start marketing this? How do you start getting out the business? And obviously you're doing that well because you have a really large following already. That's not the problem. So when you start getting the courses out, you've already built trust and relationship with everybody. As long as you really believe in those courses, people are going to be willing to purchase it from you and support you versus someone else because they already like. That's kind of the first thing is making sure that you are looking at ways to start, you know, if you're building your own stuff, you're promoting other people's stuff for you to make money. And then I know that you've been doing some almost consulting work
for
homeschooling parents. You're not charging for that at this point, right?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I have the church school in Alabama, which is one of the legal ways to homeschool, and they do pay a yearly fee. So I've got that, but then now it's not just the cover school. I mean, I have emails all day long. If I did not sit down my phone, I would be on the phone all day long.
Oh, yeah. So that's almost its own business, right? So the cover school
is
paid for itself.
Is right? One, and it pays for itself, and then there's the everyone else.
Set office hours for that.
And I love them. If anybody hears me, I'm not complaining about talking to you. That is not the issue here.
Right. But
I would not ever want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Of course not. But listen, homeschoolers understand time is valuable and there's a very, very limited, there's no way.
Hours in a day.
Right. You cannot make more than 24 hours in a day. You can make more money, but you can never make more time.
Yes.
So to me, time is almost more valuable than money. Okay. Time equals money, yes. But time is more, to me, since it's a limited commodity, I value my time more than I value money. I know that sounds awful. I shouldn't be saying that.
No, so, it's reasonable.
So if you have a cover school business, it's almost like that's its own business. You create office hours, advertise them, let everyone know, hey, everyone, in order to better manage my time, I've set my office hours between 9 and 10 before you start, you know, get it out of the way if you feel like it, 9 and 10. And you can schedule, if you need to speak to me, you can schedule time during that. And I will also try to respond to your emails between 9 and 10 in the morning or after the kids go to bed.
Yeah.
I think that's fair and reasonable.
Yeah, I think so too.
When you're trying to run a business like that, where you are basically, they're paying for you to do some paperwork for them, but they're also paying for you to be a resource for them. You want to be available, but I think it's reasonable for you not to be available 24/7.
Yes, I think so too.
You don't want to be taking calls at 2:00 in the morning, obviously. So I think homeschool moms in general are a pretty reasonable bunch. They get
Yes, they are.
Exactly. You know, if you say, okay, I can speak to you between 9 and 10 any morning this week, or I can speak to you after after 8 p.m., after the kids go to bed, or after 9 p.m., whatever. I think they get that. I know when I signed up a cover school down in Alabama, you know, there was like a park thing. She's like, I'll be there. You can 3 hours every Tuesday. You can ask me any questions you want. Bring your questions. And I thought that was really smart because you're almost doing double duty. You're off on park day, but you're also there live.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about things that you can almost double dip with, your activities for the cover school and stuff. You know, how can you support them, but do it really, really, really efficiently?
Yeah. And that's really how professional home educators started, was because I was giving them resources and it just grew.
And it just grew. Exactly.
It just grew. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. So they have lots of resources at their fingertips, and I'm always happy to schedule other stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I just need to be a little bit better with my time.
Right. Now you just need to create a second umbrella. And that's actually what I've done, is because I have my coaching business off to this, my real coaching business over there, that umbrella. And now I have working while homeschooling. So I have to manage my time and my money and my efforts under each umbrella separately and run them like they're two different businesses.
Yeah. And that's probably what I've got to do, is to separate.
So you set separate office hours for each, which just means you have to be more hyper-organized. So if the cover school is kind of running itself and doing fine right now, except for the time management, you just add the time management in.
Yeah.
And then now you have to figure out how to monetize the other umbrella. And maybe those that are in your cover school get it like 65%, you know, really cheap.
Yeah.
Just kind of make it super cheap.
Yeah.
And you turn it into a membership program, or there are certain things you do for free and to quote unquote get the word out there. And then there are certain things you don't. You could look at sponsors. I mean, you could look at a lot of these homeschooling companies would be willing to sponsor a big program where they know that they could put their advertising in front of 3,000 homeschooler moms in 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant number in the homeschooling. Yeah. You could still do your live programs. And when you do the introduction at the beginning, you read off a 30-second spiel. Today's program is sponsored by Apologia. Today's program is sponsored by the company. We're blah,
That's
blah,
a good
blah.
Idea.
You have to decide, like, you know, how much sponsorship is, and, you know, kind of go down that route. But sponsorship is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Even better when they come to you, obviously.
Yeah.
If you were able to spend some time going after whatever homeschool resources that homeschool moms around the country would be interested in, then I think, you know, that's a great way to do it. Maybe they sponsor two of your live sessions on Saturdays. Maybe they sponsor 10. Maybe they're willing to, you know, I know you just did a homeschool expo locally.
Yeah.
If you had sponsors for that, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Except it's national.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sponsorship is great. Selling your own products is great. You know, having the quote unquote homeschool sponsor your professional home educator thing, when in the middle, you can fake it and sponsor yourself. In between, on my podcast, I've promoted, like, hey, I'm an affiliate for this conference that's coming up, and I'd love for you to join us. And here's the information. So you can put your own little commercials in there too.
Yeah.
You can cross-pollinate a little bit.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the consulting part, you know, you might need to set a limit on how much they get for free under the cover school.
Yeah.
So they get, I don't know, maybe they get 6 hours. That's 12 half-hour conversations.
Yeah.
Or something. And then after that, everything's a charge. Everybody outside the cover school, you should be charging time.
Yeah.
And then just advertise it. And as long as you don't, it's a little bit of a mind game. As long as you feel you're worth it, they will feel you're worth it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, they won't balk at paying. And if they do, they'll go somewhere where they can get it for free. And that's okay, because your time is valuable.
Yeah.
Right. So the consulting, the coaching that you're doing, charging for your time, and it doesn't have to be crazy. It just has to cover your expenses at first, right?
Yeah.
Once you get more comfortable and more confident, then you could up your prices to the price level that you're comfortable with.
That makes sense.
Right. It will cut back on some of the stuff you're doing. All of a sudden you'll see a lot of drop off, because people who are just using it to get the free advice will go away. They'll go get that somewhere else. Those who really value your time and really are committed to it will be willing to pay.
Yeah.
So, you know, having products, you know, putting stuff out there that you can charge for, having an affiliate program, sponsorships, you know, paying for, you know, something else like consulting or advertising that, I think those are some of the really big ways to make money. But I think those are stuff that you could probably implement in what you're already doing very easily.
Yeah. And that's what I've been slowly realizing, that I'm already doing it.
You're already doing it.
Taking it to another level.
Right. Just being more conscientious about it and being more pragmatic about it. That's going to help you a lot.
I think so.
Well, thank you so much for your time here today, Devin.
You gave me so many good ideas.
You're very, very welcome. And everybody, check out Professional Home Educator because it is pretty cool. And we have spoken on that as a kind of a panel here at the Working Mom Homeschooling World.
Yeah, we had an awesome panel a couple of weeks ago. Well worth it.
So you guys check that out. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. Please be sure to check out the show notes for the links to my site, workingmomhomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And I do appreciate our listeners' supporters, so if you're enjoying today's podcast, you too can help support me with a small monthly donation that's going to help me continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working Mom Homeschooling Podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to our podcast, and thank you to all of you who have been sharing this with your homeschooling friends. If you know someone that you think would be a great guest of our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingwhilehomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Devin for being our guest. And everyone, please make sure you're joining us in our Facebook group for a continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.